When my father returned, we asked him how the emperor liked his new residence. He said that he appeared out of spirits and, retiring to his dressing room, had shut himself up for the remainder of the day. From the circumstance that my father was the emperor's purveyor, we had a general order to visit Longren, and we seldom allowed a week to pass without seeing him. On these occasions, we generally arrived in time to breakfast with him at 1 and return in the evening. He was more subject to depression of spirits than when at De Briar's, but still gleams of his former playfulness shone out at times. On one occasion, we found him firing at our mark with pistols. He put one into my hand, loaded, I believe, with powder, and in great trepidation, I fired it off. He often called me afterwards La Petite TRR, the little shooter, and said he would form a corps of sharpshooters, of which I would be the captain. He then went into the house, and he took me into the billiard room, a table having been just set up at Longwood. I remember thinking it too childish for men, and very like marbles on a larger scale. The emperor condescended to teach me how to play, but I made very little progress, and amused myself with trying to hit his imperial fingers with the ball instead of making cannons and hazards. Napoleon's health and activity began to decline soon after his arrival at Longwood. In consequence of the unfortunate disputes with the governor, Sir Hudson Lowe, his health became visibly impaired. He was unable, consequently, to enjoy that buoyancy of spirit, which had probably been the chief cause of his allowing me to be so often in his society, and of his distinguishing me with so much regard. But he never failed to treat me with the greatest tenderness and kindness. Some months after his departure, I was attacked with an alarming illness. Mr. O'Meara attended me, and at one time despaired of my recovery. The emperor's kindness in making inquiries after me and his other attentions, I can never forget. He ordered his confiseur, which, when I became convalescent, to supply me daily from his own table with every delicacy to tempt my appetite and restore my strength. Chapter 10. While here shall be our home, what best may ease the present misery and render hell more tolerable, if there be cure or charm to respite or deceive or slack the pain of this ill mansion, Milton. Here I in sorrow sit. Here is my throne, Shakespeare. Our first visit to Napoleon at Longwood. Description of it. His pleasure in seeing us. Anecdote of the Marquis de M, Napoleon's animated account of Sir W. D.'s hospitality and the beauty of fairyland. With the assistance of my daughter's pencil and some rough sketches I had by me, I have been enabled to give a view of De Briar's and the cottage occupied by Napoleon whilst he stayed with us. He certainly appeared very contented during that time and frequently expressed a strong desire that the government would permit him to remain there by purchasing the estate. And under refusing to do so, he sent General Montalon to negotiate with my father that he himself might become the purchaser of the Briars. But circumstances, probably political, prevented the negotiation from being carried out. Napoleon used to watch with great interest the fatigue parties of the 53rd Regiment as they wound round the mountain, carrying on their shoulders the materials wherewith Longwood was to be rendered fit to receive him. And as the time of its completion drew nigh, he manifested his discontent by grumbling at the fifes and drums, to the sound of which the soldiers of the 53rd used to toil up those steep declivities, as their monotonous notes warned him of the speedy termination of his sojourn at our cottage. Shortly after the emperor left De Briar's, we proposed riding to Longwood to see him, feeling exceedingly anxious to know how he was accommodated, or rather, it may be, hoping to hear him make a comparison in favor of the sweet place he had left for the sterile-looking domain in which his habitation was now placed. And I remember being in a state of ecstasy at the prospect of again beholding my old playmate, the loss of whose society I had so deeply regretted. We found him seated on the steps of his billiard room, chatting with little Tristan Montalon. The moment he perceived us, he started up and hastened towards us. Running to my mother, he saluted her on each cheek, after which fashion he welcomed my sister. But as usual with me, he seized me by the ear, pinching and exclaimed, "Ah, Mademoiselle Betsy, êtes-vous sage, hein?" He then asked us what we thought of his palace and bidding us follow him. He said he would show us over his menage. We were first conducted to his bedroom, which was small and cheerless. Instead of paper hangings, its walls were covered with fluted nankeen, and the only decorations I observed were the different portraits of his family, which on a former occasion he had shown to us. His bed was a little camp bedstead with green silk hangings, on which he said he had slept when on the battlefields of Marengo and Austerlitz. The only thing approaching the magnificence in the furniture of his chamber was a splendid silver washstand basin. The first object in which his eyes would rest on awakening, on which was a small bust of his son, which stood on the mantelpiece facing his bed, and above which hung a portrait of Marie-Louise. We then passed on through an anteroom to a small chamber in which a bath had been put up for his use, and where he passed many hours of the day.